for a few minutes. We've been through a period where it's expected to give gifts, and perhaps even more expected to receive gifts. And as we think about the gift giving that we've gone through, we enjoy that, and yet we've had some hard times, some hard days, some difficult things to process as we think about at least three deaths that directly affect our congregation. And we think about the sadness of people being in critical care, in nursing homes, family members that are isolated. There's so many things that we need to be thinking about, and I just want to encourage you that if you are a praying person, and I'm assuming that everyone listening to me and understands God's will is a praying person, we have a lot to pray about and to pray for, and I'm hoping that as you process the life that is going on in your presence and all around you, that you will be a praying person. This morning, as we conclude this year in our worship time together, I wanted to think about three gifts of grace. We don't deserve any of them. And because we don't deserve them, I think that helps us sometimes take them for granted and not think about them in the way that we should. But I want to share with you some thoughts from this passage that Tucker read for us a little while ago. Such a tremendous passage with so much information. But I want to share from that, to pick out of that passage, three gifts of grace. And the first gift that I want to talk about is a new life. I don't know how you are and how your life has been, but I've been hurt and I've been in grief. I've been disappointed over death in my family, among my friends. I remember in my junior high time, one of my closest friends being killed in an automobile accident, and how sick at my stomach I was when I heard that. And on through the years, I remember so many things in terms of my own family. When I was 11, the death of a brother. I remember barely at age 5, the death of my father. But I've thought so often about the need for a new life. God offers that. And it's kind of interesting when Paul wants us to think about a new life, he doesn't take us to a party. He, in his way, takes us to a graveyard, a cemetery. And he talks about death. And what we ought to think about, and our gratitude ought to be so strong, is that God recognizes that our outward man, our outer self, is wasting away. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, that's what it says. But this doesn't cause a child of God to lose heart. We continue to be grateful. As I've grown older, some of that's not easy. It's not as much fun to jump and not get off the floor. I used to jump and reach up and grab a basketball rim. That was so much fun and so exciting. I don't even want to think about trying to reach a basketball rim now. Age does a lot to us. And we know our outer man itself is wasting away. But as we think about this new life, we got to think about why we need it. Why we need it. Verse 5 here in Ephesians chapter 2 says, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. I'm confident that at least a few of you watched a few Christmas movies, and A Christmas Carol was one of them. And in the Ghost of Future, of the Future's presence with Scrooge, he takes him to a cemetery. And in one of those movies, Scrooge falls on this grave and he starts begging for the chance for a new life. If we could see ourselves as spiritually as Scrooge saw himself in that particular moment, we would be thankful to think about what this death means.
God gives us a chance to see ourselves dead. There has never been grief in my life over the death of my dad, the death of my brother, the death of my friend in junior high, or any other death that's ever occurred that should cause me as much grief as thinking about me being dead in sin. That is serious business. Dead in sin. And because of that, we need a new life. And as we think about that, how serious it is. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. Paul says to each one of us and to those people back in Ephesus in that day, but concentrate on what Paul says to you. Remember when you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise. Now listen to this. Having no hope without God in the world. There's a great need for a new life for one that is not a child of God. But this new life is available to everyone who will turn to God. And so this new life is a gift of grace. Look at chapter 2 and verse 4. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is the resurrection of life. How exciting would it have been to be at the tomb of Lazarus when Jesus cried, "Lazarus, come forth!" And here comes this body out of the tomb that had been separated from the spirit that created death in it for 4 days and had already begun to decay. How exciting it must have been for Mary and Martha and those friends. Do you feel that excited when you watch someone be buried with Christ and raised to walk in newness of life? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might also be raised to walk in newness of life. Do you think of a baptism as a dead person going into that pool of water and an alive person rising up out of there? We need this new life. And God offers it and gives it to everyone who will respond to Him in faith and repent of their sins, confess them. God knows you're a sinner, but He wants you to let Him know that you have a need to be raised from the dead. And when we confess our faith in Him and we are buried with Him, this passage in Romans 6 teaches us that we bury this old man of sin and we shake off spiritual death and we rise to walk in newness of life. What a great gift, a new life. But a second gift that we see in this passage is a new home. Hard for us to think about that when you look at all of the circumstances that surround us in our world today. With the normal problems that we have, with the normal types of death, and then you add on to that the COVID problems that we experience and all of the kinds of deaths, we look about that. And it's depressing, it's difficult to deal with, it's difficult to process. But when Paul says here in verse 5, by grace you have been saved, what he's saying is, by grace you have been made alive. And here's one of the serendipities of that. It just comes with it. And I want you to listen to what it says. We've been saved, and verse 6 says, and we have been raised up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you feel this morning like you're sitting in a heavenly place? I'm thinking of sweet people like Janice Mount, whose husband is critical, in intensive care. She is at home by herself with COVID. Can you imagine her feeling like she is seated with Christ in the heavenly places? She and I have talked about the blessing of spiritual things during this time. But that's what Paul says. Look at this. It's not past tense. It's not future tense. He has now raised us up and seated us with him in the heavenly places. There's a spiritual world around about us. One of the ideas that I just keep thinking about and how God helps us, and I don't know exactly how God helps us in every way, but I can tell you, I am thinking about an Old Testament passage where God's people lift up their eyes and there are thousands of warriors from God who are going to fight the battle for Israel. They're going to stand and watch God's army fight the battle for them. That's going on with us in some way. I don't know how. I can't tell you how. But I can tell you there's a spiritual realm in which God has raised us up. He didn't just bring us back to life. He raised us up with him. Remember what Romans 6:4 says? Just like Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we are also raised with him. And it is with him that we walk in newness of life. And today, God has given us a new home. It's not about 390 Mill Street, where I live. It's not about your address and the house you live in that God is trying to get us to think about and focus on. He's trying to get us to think about a heavenly home. And now you've been raised up. What a great blessing. There's the opportunity to be elevated above everything that's going on in this world in our spiritual life. What an unthinkable gift God has given us. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, the Hebrew writer says, "For here we have no lasting city." I was reading in my Bible reading this morning, Revelation 18, this great city of Babylon, it's nothing now. It is nothing. God can make Henderson, Tennessee disappear overnight. He's done it before with much larger cities than Henderson. We don't have any lasting city here. But as children of God, we have a new home and we are seeking the city that is to come. What a great blessing when you start reading the descriptions of heaven, and yet we want everything here in this world to be like God describes heaven as being. It isn't going to happen. We have to wait to be transported from this world, even though our spirit is already seated with him in heavenly places. What a great blessing. But when we lose this physical body, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1 says, even though our outward tabernacle, this tent, this body that we live in, is destroyed. Yours is going to be destroyed one day. Mine's going to be destroyed one day. And we need to be ready for that. We need to think about that. We need to think about wanting to be seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And as we think about that, and this earthly tabernacle is destroyed, the rest of that passage says, God has a dwelling for us not made with hands in the heavens. What a great idea, a new home. But we don't have a place without real citizenship. It's great to be a citizen of Henderson, Tennessee. I have loved it ever since I drove into town for the first time in 1965. I still love being a resident of Henderson, Tennessee. I talk to people out there and I say, why don't you come to the garden spot of the world and visit me in Henderson, Tennessee? That's what it is to me. I've been a lot of beautiful places, but I can tell you, coming in from Jack's Creek and you get up on a place high enough to see the lights of Henderson, I have seen those lights sometimes when I just couldn't wait to get here. And every time I go away, I promise you, I'm telling you the truth, that is the way I feel. But this city, this little town, this great place to live for me is nothing compared to the citizenship that I feel as a member of the family of God, where I can go home one day to be with God. It's not a big deal for this earthly tabernacle to be destroyed, because God has a building not made with hands in the heavens, and that will never pass away. And this citizenship in heaven, look at what the Hebrew writer says. From it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great blessing. A new life, a new home, but God also gave us a new job. We are His workmanship. God created us in His image. In the image of God created He us. What an unthinkable blessing is that we can image God. We can reflect God in this world. We read all the descriptions of God. God is love. God is grateful. God is benevolent. God is just. God is. And you can go on and name all kinds of things about God and what He is. You can be that to the degree that you work at it and have the opportunity and ability to be. We can be like God. Why? Because we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. But He didn't just create us so that we could brag about having been created by God, having been created in Christ Jesus. But look at what it says. The purpose of our creation by God in Christ Jesus is for good works. Every day, as you look and you walk through life, you ought to be able and willing to look back, and you ought to be able to see a trail of good works that you are involved in. As you look back this past week, can you think of good things that you have done that would serve God, that would serve other people? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. God created these good works beforehand. He created you, in a sense, beforehand for these good works, that we should walk in them. We've got to live life doing good works. That's the job that God gave us. When He raised us up from the dead, from that watery grave of baptism, and we were born to walk in newness of life, it was a life of good works. That's why Jesus said in this great passage from the Sermon on the Mount, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." People that are close to you ought to be able to look at you and see the good works that you're involved in, to see what you do that honors and glorifies God every day, to see what you do that honors and glorifies your fellow man, even your enemies, every day. We're to be full of good works, and people are to see them. But here's the hard part for us. When I do something good, I want you to say, "What a good boy you are, Roy." I want you to tell other people, "Man, he's a good guy. What a good guy he is." If I'm not very careful, I want to receive the glory for what I do. But God created us in Christ Jesus for good works, so that God can be glorified through you. That is a hard part of this new job that God has given us. Some examples that the Bible gives us. Well, somebody says, "Well, what can I do?" Well, the Bible says these things, and then God gives you the ability to think through, what should I do in this instant? You call somebody that's in trouble right now, and you say, "I want to help you. What can I do?" They're going to tell you, as my good friend Dal Flatt used to say, 10 times out of 9, they're going to tell you, "Oh, I'm good. I don't need anything." So you hang up the phone feeling good about having asked without actually doing anything. Now, I recognize sometimes it's impossible. But the good works include keeping the commandments and giving to the poor, giving alms secretly, and even just giving someone a cup of cold water. In fact, it's that kind of service that in Matthew 25 teaches us that the judgment's going to be about. Jesus said, you go over here on the left because I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was sick and you didn't visit me. So you move over here. But those on the right, they went over there because they did those things. And each one of them raised the question, when did we see you in need? And Jesus said, insomuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. God is wanting us to have a new life. He so wants you today, if you're listening to me and you're not a child of God, you are dead in your sins and there is no hope and there should be no grief ever in your heart greater than that. But God wants to bring you to life, for you to be buried with Him and for you to be raised to walk in newness of life, and then you'll have that new home. Raised up to sit with Him in the heavenly places now. Because of your being a child of God. And He wants you to get with this new job of good works every day in your life. Thank you for being with us. If there's any way that any of us could help you, please call one of the ministers. Please call our elders. We so want to help you enjoy a new life, a new home, and keep going in this new job. Let's close with a prayer, please. Father, you've given us a wonderful Lord's Day. Thank you for considering our need to remember how dead we were in our trespasses and sins, and how grateful we are that you've raised us up. And thank you for giving us this great ceremony that we call the Lord's Supper. Thank you for blessing us with the opportunity to take a very simple piece of bread that makes us remember the loving body of your Son that was nailed on the cross for my sake. Thank you for letting us share this fruit of the vine that reminds us of the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. We're so blessed, Father. May we be grateful in this gift-giving season for this gift of grace, for this new home that is from your grace, and then the grace of giving us work every day. Bless us to be your children as we should. In Jesus' name, amen.